Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the Big Country. Welcome to this episode on this beautiful Monday. I hope you have recognized that I'm in a different location. Such is the life we choose to live. And so we have shifted into a new season where we're going to be changing locations and setting up new situations to be able to bring better podcasts. So hopefully you'll see the benefits of this in the days to come. It'd really help me out if you would subscribe and share your platform that you listen to with your family and friends so we can get the word out, because I think there's some important things coming down the pike that we want to make sure people have access to the information so they can be educated and informed and make an impact where God has placed them in their community, because that's our ultimate goal. If we're just here coasting, it really makes not that much difference if we're there or not. So let's start being creating a presence within our community that if we're not there, people notice and something feels off or missing. So it's been a full week. I apologize for not dropping a podcast last week. I actually was under the weather. As you can hear in my voice, I'm still a little under the weather, trying to get over that. So hopefully I'll be able to get through this whole thing with a strong voice, ready to share all the excitement that's happened this week. It was really a struggle for me because I knew there wasn't a lot that happened. And so it didn't make sense to just do a podcast on all that was coming, because this week was jam-packed, so much that I couldn't even go to all the things that I wanted to go to. So let's do a recap of all that's happened this week. But before we get started, one of the most exciting events that happened to me this week was the Taylor County Republican primary forum that was held at 201 Mesquite Center. It was something that really enjoyed getting to be a part of. You know, we haven't really had a lot of forums to help educate and inform people for this particular primary that happens on March 5th. And I know I've been talking about this for several weeks because we are a Republican county. And because we're a Republican county, then we must make some decisions during the Republican primary season, which is in March, instead of during November election season, which most people think of voting for their elected representatives. So we have two candidates in HD 71, which encompasses Nolan, Callahan, Taylor and Jones County. And then we also have Congressional District 19 for the U.S. House seat, which encompasses a little bit different area. So it's weird how some people can vote in some parts of this election and some people can vote in other parts. And so it's kind of confusing because there's no Democrats ever elected in our county. There's really no Democratic primary. So anyone who wants to vote in our open primaries in Texas can vote. So if you want to pick the candidate that fits your positions better, you can help control who we get to put forth as our candidate, regardless of your party. So it's really important you vote. Early voting starts February 20th. And I wanted to kind of jump through here just to show you. We had so many different candidates. It was awesome. We had County Commissioner Brad Burcham open us up in prayer. It was a beautiful prayer. We had the commissioners for Precinct 1. So the best way to know what precinct you are in is if you know your precinct number. If there's a 1 in front of it, a 2, a 3, or a 4, then that is your precinct 1, 2, 3, or 4. So that's where you can vote there. And then we had, I'm just trying to show you a little bit of, we had a great turnout. They talked a long time, I guess. I guess I got the beginning of theirs. There you go. Then we had the three candidates running for sheriff. That's current Sheriff Ricky Bishop right there. We had Elias Carrasquillo. There he is. And then you can see Shea Bailey off to the right. Then we had also our House District 71. We had Liz Case, who was there, but unfortunately the incumbent running for her position did not show up or send representation. And then also we had U.S. Congress House District 19, and Jody Arrington is the incumbent, and he did not send any, he did not come, and he did have a couple of guys there willing to talk to people. So we had a great turnout. It was, I think, a pretty fair and balanced forum. They asked questions of each of them, and I think really the goal was to educate and inform you, and it was awesome because a very reliable source counted almost 300 people there, and it was crazy. We ran out of chairs. If any more people had showed up or wanted to seat, we would have run out of chairs. So that was a really fun event, and I look forward to doing more of those or being a part of more of those in the future, because as a Republican county, we should have our candidates being willing to engage in the Republican Party. And I think it opens up questions for those who don't want to. What can we do to get them to recognize that speaking to the constituents matters, and where else are they going to allow for an open invitation for the public to show up and speak to them and interact with them? I think the funnest part for the whole night was the time before and after, where the candidates all stood around their tables and they interacted with people, and we kicked people out about 9 o'clock because we had to shut the place down. So it was a really great event, and I'm so proud of all that has been done in our county to bring an engagement to people unlike we've had in a long time. So that's really good. Okay, so but make sure you show up at the location. Well, it's open locations to show up. They say that 70% of our county votes in early elections, so the first 2 days is a really big deal. And then if you can't make it in early voting, then you can show up on March 5th to one of the locations that is available for you. So look on the elections office website, and they'll have that information. All right, we got a new setup here, so I'm trying to navigate through this pretty well without too many hiccups, but here we go. All right, this is the week in review. So it was a fun and exciting week. I was not lacking for information, so I'm going to try and weed through this pretty well so that you can get the gist of it, because each thing builds on another, and what we learn from one meeting can help us understand what we can learn for the next meeting. And so I thought that was really good. The first meeting we're going to talk about is a planning and zoning meeting, and they introduced new members, Kristen Kiker and Zachary Sykes. They have been added to the board, and they also voted in Shantae as the secretary and Kevin Halliburton as the sergeant of arms. You know, it's really been interesting. There's been so many great people who've been willing to show up and have their voices heard at all these different meetings. They're starting to run together in my head, and that's a good problem. So what we had here was an RV park. There was the property owners wanted to change it from AO to, I can't remember, it's residential. Let me see if I wrote it down on my notes. To RV park. That's just a dezoning they had on Westlake Road. And it was really interesting because, you know, they only have by law a requirement to inform so many people in a certain perimeter of the property. And they did so. And there was no one really that responded, I believe, to the request to change zoning. But what happened was some of the neighbors caught wind of what was going to be developed in that area, and they showed up in force. I think they were a little misinformed, and I'm not sure if it was because of some other things going on, but the neighbors showed up. They had a list of people, probably 10 other names of people who wanted to be a part of it but couldn't. And what was interesting is I think it's a big family that has lived out there for a long time, and they didn't want an RV park to go there. And so they came in asking questions. But again, if they had known what was going on and what questions to ask, it would have made a lot of sense. So they were trying to understand reasons why it wouldn't be a good idea, but it wasn't the right reasons to bring before the Planning and Zoning Committee. So when one neighbor typed up a flyer and stuck it in everybody's mailbox to let them know what was going on. And so they showed up. Some of them knew about the meeting 2 hours beforehand, and some of them showed up ready to be able to express their opinions of not wanting to have an RV park out there. And I understand, like, that changes your whole dynamics. But part of the problem is when a city is growing, things are going to change. And the outskirts of the city, especially by the lake, they're going to develop. And I know they're trying to develop Fort Phantom into more of a destination where people want to go. And so everyone has an RV these days. And that is a really hot commodity to have access to that, especially so close to the lake. So there is a tension that you have to walk in as a city planner. And I'm so glad they're developing the land. They're reorganizing or reworking the land development code. So hopefully some of these issues won't be quite as confusing to people. So while I typically want to always side on the property owner, the residents do need to have some consideration in what is going on and to make sure that it's fair and transparent for them as they're trying to understand the process the city is going through. But they pushed in so much opposition to this that the city, to my knowledge and all that I've watched of the city, they've created a new color coding system. So it used to be red and then just green. Red is opposed, green is in favor. Now they have a yellow coding system for those who live outside the city. the requirement zone of being notified. And so I thought that was a big deal for those particular residents. Although it didn't go the way they wanted, it will be presented at council for first reading. And then the next meeting, the next city council meeting, they'll be able to speak to that. The other thing that I thought was really interesting was in Bel Air, and I'm going to see if I can scoot over here. Yeah, these are all the RV people, which is fine. I'm really proud of them for coming and speaking. And, you know, there is some things that you have to consider when you're speaking before the city. So there's a development. There's like a little strip of land that they're wanting continuing some patio homes, I believe is what it is, on Bel Air. And one gentleman stood up and pointed out the fact that every time they fix something, it actually has been causing flooding. And he said that, and again, this is what he said. So I don't know how to exactly research this, but he said every time they've made a change, it's caused worse flooding. And his house has been flooded several times because of some of the changes they've made in that area. And when he talked to, sorry about this, getting the video in the right place. When he talked to whoever was the engineer or whatever for the city, they said, well, that you know, we've got it fixed. And what are you going to do? Fix it? Well, we just have it fixed. It didn't seem like they came across very informative to help or helpful to him. And so he brought again the case that if you change everything up again, it's going to cause the flooding to be even worse, to which the planning and zoning and the city officials didn't even acknowledge it, except by saying this place that we're rezoning is not going to flood, so we don't have to worry about it. And that to me was a little frustrating as an observer, because yes, that place, the property they're rezoning, is the highest land, so it's not going to be flooding. But changes made on the highest land do affect what happens lower, further down the road. And so I wished I could have seen some more of a response or just acknowledgement of something going on, because I'm afraid this is going to come to the city council. And I don't even know if the flooding is going to be brought up, because there are places in our town that will flood and it is a legitimate issue. Okay, so we're going to move along to the next item that happened this week, which is the state of the city. And now I wanted to live stream it for the Just an Average Citizen channel, just so it could be available for you to watch, because right now you have to go onto the website and find where the videos are. And right now it's actually currently not on the website. And if I can figure out a way to get this hour and a half long video uploaded, then I'll do it for you, just so it'll be there on record, and to hope that I can do more things like that in the future. I've got to navigate through working out what it means to have access to Wi-Fi and not being in a room saturated with a ton of cell phones that really killed all internet capabilities at that event. So I started it and then it just died on me, and I haven't quite figured out how to get that long of a video loaded. So I'll see what I can do in the future. But we're learning and growing as we move along to see what is something that's helpful. I really don't know of anyone who's going to sit through and watch it like we did when we were in the room, but it is something that is important for you to pay attention to. I did find some more videos. I am still learning this website. I think I have it figured out, and then it seems to get the best of me. I didn't realize they had other videos up, because the only videos they have right now for the state of the city, or the state of the city address, is in 2020. Well, hello, Tammy. If you look at 2021, there's more videos. If you look at 2019, if you look at 2018, they have videos set up. So there are more videos. I was just a little clueless, not realizing that they were separated by year, and there's only one per year. So I will say, and I spoke to as many people as I could to tell them their media presentation, the cohesiveness of the message they had beforehand, was amazing. It really gave me a lot of expectation of what was to come. And I think that took a lot of talent and skill, and I'm really proud of the way they handled it. Now, I want to show you the only things you can really look in right now on the state of the city is it has this article that you can click on right here, and it gives you some highlights. The only bummer thing, the thing I'm most bummed about, is it says to look at the full, to click here, and it doesn't have a live link. And I even copied and pasted it, and I don't know where that link is supposed to go, but there's nothing on it right now. So they gave a lot of stats. They gave a lot of information. Dias is our biggest employer. I mean, I think if you talk about our civilians, we have probably 13,000 to 14,000 employees connected with Dias. And they gave a lot of information, which I'm not going to go into, because we've talked about some of this with the budget and things like that. But I did want to click over here and just show you another great place to look, which, I'm sorry, I did that pretty fast. Let me go back and show you. At the bottom, you can see other news. It says community county partners in the state of the city emphasize collaboration. And so what they had here was some other people. And I was asking one of them afterwards, how long was your speech? Thinking it was like 20 or 30 minutes. And he goes, we were limited to 5 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh. I will just say I had a little bit of time to count the room, because I will tell you, there was a lot of people there. And it was a great facility. And I think the hotel did a good job of setting it up for the media, for the people. And of course, you have people who don't want to sit, so they did need more chairs, but it was a full house, I would say. And I counted about a little under 200 people. And so I thought what was interesting is it was a group of 200 people, but it seemed like almost a completely different group of people than we saw on Monday night. So we had about 500 people engaged in some events going on in our city, but the two shall not meet right yet. So we need to work on that so we can get to increase our reach in a cohesive way, which is what they talked about, collaboration. We need to collaborate better so we can and make a better impact. But there were some movers and shakers in that room, and it was kind of fun to see who all was there, who all I knew, who would talk to me. And as many people as I could talk to, I did. But it's a learning curve for sure. So if you look here, we have the different community partners. We have Judge Crowley, who spoke. We have Mr. Waldron from AISD. We have Mr. Light from Wiley. We have Mr. Peters from the Chamber. And we have Ms. Mayo from the DCOA. And they all did a great job presenting their information. Like I said, the city had little videos in between each one, and they talked about the goals, investing, what the goals are for the city. And I will say that it was really interesting to me, because I've read some of the goals of the city, and the way they presented it helped me understand a little bit better what their goals were. Like for investing in people there, or engaging in the community, or investing in people, they saw it as the boards were a good way for us to be a part of things. But I know, and you know, if you've been watching this podcast, you really don't have much opportunity to serve in that unless you have connections on the city council or through the mayor. So if you don't, like probably myself would be included in that, you're not really going to have a shot on the boards. And they said there was like 254 positions, 234 different positions on the opportunity to serve on the board. So that's a large number of people. I wonder if that was all the 234 people were, and I guess it was less than the people who were there. So I don't know. I don't know if all the board members were able to attend yesterday. But the other way they engage with the community is by providing services through the rec programs and the zoo and all these different things. And they consider that as way they engage with the community. And so that was an interesting thing to me, because I'd never consider that as something as a goal for engaging with the city, providing city services, I guess, or providing opportunities. It's a good way to describe that. Okay. So the other thing that was interesting, as I was making my way around, we got there early enough to make sure that we had a place to get our video camera set up and get ready to record it, because we never know what's going to be recorded and what's not recorded. And so that's what's great about trying to do what we're doing. And as we were relocating this week, it kind of made some of that a little bit more tricky, or trickier than usual. But what I wanted to say was, it was interesting at 3:15, Mayor Weldon got up to the front of the room and said, hey, everybody, if you want to make a public comment, here's the mic, you can do it. And we'll start at 3:30. And he got down, and not one person made a public comment, because I guess by law, being an Open Meetings Act, they have to allow time for public comment. And I thought that was a really interesting and creative way to provide a public comment that no one was going to talk at, yet you could check off the box. So they did that and got started. I will have to say this, it was really interesting having both superintendents, and I'm not sure if Doug Waldron is the actual, or Joe, sorry, Joe, not Doug Peters, Joe Waldron. Joe Waldron is he's the associate superintendent for the operations with the Abilene Independent School District. And his presentation had a way different feel than Joey Light's presentation. And it was just really night and day. Which is interesting now that I even think about it, because Abilene ISD was like, well, you know, it's about the heart of the matter. And I thought that was real interesting, because it really just didn't really have the same kind of energy. I was going to look and see here, the heartbeat of the city. Okay. That's their goal, is to be the heartbeat of the city. And public education is a great equalizer, but it fell flat. It just didn't really have any oomph. It just was very mechanical and very literal. And I was not really, it wasn't necessarily bad or good. It was just a neutral thing. It was just kind of like a placeholder. And then when Joey got up, there was just something about him that is so engaging. Joey Light got up. There was something so engaging and remarkable about his presentation that I don't even really necessarily know a lot of what he said, except that he talked about some of their their preschool, they have a preschool daycare for teachers and their bond program and different things like that, that there's just something very engaging about him that really reflected more in what he said rather than his presentation. And I just thought that was an interesting juxtaposition at an event like this. Okay. So I think that is all that I really wanted to share about it. I mean, they shared some great stats, and I will say it was a very well-polished program. I feel like the big star was the media department and what they brought to the table, because the rest of it felt just kind of like a dog and pony show. It didn't really feel like it had much substance to it, except for look at all these accomplishments, mainly because I don't know how to connect with the information they're sharing, and I don't know how it affects me positively. And I'm not saying that they didn't do a good job. I'm just saying that was my takeaway, and I would like to be able to have some more connection. But right now, I feel like I'm in a demographic that is not really reached through their strategies and goals of what they want to serve in the city. And that is disconnecting in a way. But I will say this, the star was absolutely the media department, and what a great job they did putting all the different videos together. There was very little technical issues, and they actually had Abilene ISD students who were helping doing the videoing of the event. And so I'm sure that's why it's taking a little bit longer to get it up. So I'll let you know if it's posted anywhere, and when and if I get it on my Justin Avertison Facebook page. All right, so let's go on to the next thing. That was a big chunk of our week. All right, so now we're going to go to, see, I think I got some of these back up. Okay, here we're going to go to the Board of Building Standards this week. So there were a lot of cases this week. It was really interesting. They handled 6 cases. In this particular one, most of these had vagrants living in them. They had several vacancies with no utilities from 2020. There was one house they talked about who actually had no record of any utilities whatsoever. They just had a case open on 7/22. So a year and a half ago, they had a case open on a house that had no record of utilities. How does that even happen? How does a house get by that long? But I do think they're trying to get better, doing a better job of that. Okay, so we had 6 cases. One case, this has been going through the, you know, it was condemned, I believe, in December. And the lady had a chance to file for appeal. She filed for an appeal, and they denied it because this house alone had 26 code enforcements on it. And like several, 3 within the last calendar year, I think is what they said. And again, she wants to try and sell it. And I saw this happen twice. Rather than put it on a 30-60 plan or condemn it for 30 days or whatever, they work with the people. And I think for the most part, what I've learned is if they can help and find a way to resolve this, they can, but you have to give them a little bit. So they decided to table it for 30 days rather than shut it down, because if they moved it into condemnation, this lady had a contract on her house. It was supposed to happen before the end of February. And so it allowed her to be able to do that. And if not, at the next meeting, they can go ahead and go through. And it's just a little bit of a little workaround that I think I've seen a couple times. And I feel like they're doing it in a way to benefit the people in the dire situation. So kudos to them for trying to work through some difficult circumstances. So I think that's basically it. You can watch if you want to see some of the places. I think what's great is to see the combination of them getting rid of some of these structures and getting them taken care of so that contractors can take advantage of Rebuild Abilene ABI and actually build some new homes in some of these places that are for the infill development and get our neighborhoods moving in a better direction, especially on the north side of town, because we know that we need those restored. And I know that code violations are a struggle more so in the north. Code enforcement is a lot harder on the north side, and it doesn't seem to move as fast. So working through that and seeing how we can make it a good win-win for everybody, because these buildings that are a nuisance need to be taken care of. All right. So the last thing was the city council meeting. I wanted to talk to you about this because it wasn't necessarily a meeting that had a lot on it. But again, I want to tell you what's on the consent agenda. I want to tell you what's on the consent agenda so you can see what's being passed through on an administrative level and a level that some people would think is not a big deal. But I think it's good to have conversations about it. I'm not showing you things that I'm learning as I go. And the problem is I want to have it all perfect. The problem is I want to know about everything before I start talking about it. And I can't do that, or else they'll never be any growth forward. So if I say some things that inspire you to want to look it up more, that's a win-win. If I say some things that go, hey, I already know about that, then you can let me know. That's a win-win. Like if we collaborate together, it's going to go much better than if I try to get it all done, polished and perfect, and present to you in a pretty little package so that you can take it and go and share it with the world. So what I wanted to show you on the consent agenda. So surprisingly, out of nowhere, there's no information given. They have a new voting system that's computerized. And so what it is the councilman and mayor, they can do a motion, do a second, and then vote on it. And I'm just going to play this for you for just a little bit.
We have a new voting system.
Is it plugged in?
Still?
Disconnected. Trying to reconnect. Oh, there we go.
Nobody has hit second yet.
Who seconded it?
I'm hitting it.
He's hitting it. And it's changing color.
Hey, you want me to try to second it?
Sure.
Okay.
There it is.
It switched. Okay.
My screen's changed. We're
ready to vote.
I have an abstention on 11.
Okay. All yeses, so motion carries.
Motion carries.
Okay. And there it was. Did you see it? Nope, you didn't see it. You didn't see it because they didn't show it. And this may, this is troubling to me. I just wish they would give us heads up so we can know what's going on. But B, throughout the meeting, I was unable to go because I wasn't feeling well. So I watched it online through the meeting. It was very inconsistent on when they showed who was voting and what they were voting on. And while it doesn't seem like a big deal because they all passed unanimously, there are times where it's good to know who voted on what item and how they voted and who seconded and who motioned it, who seconded all those things. So I hope they get the bugs tweaked out of this so that it can run more smoothly. But what I also learned is they can actually show us what's on the screen because there was a little blip where they showed us the vote. It was a small blip and you had to freeze frame and I couldn't even take a picture of it to show it to you. But they can show us what's on the screens and they can show us the presentation as it goes. And there are some meetings they are spot on with it. There are other times I feel completely lost and unsure what is going on. And so I just wanted to let you know that if you go, they're going to be voting differently. You won't hear them vote. You're going to probably see the voting tallies shown possibly at the city council meeting. I don't know if this will move on to the boards, but it was a surprising change that we were not expecting. Okay, so let me go now to the consent agenda. There are several items on the consent agenda, resolutions and a couple of first reading for ordinances. What I wanted to show you is that we had some board appointments. We had the Board of Adjustments. John Harvard is an alternate, so he was already on there and he's new. The Board of Building Standards, we have A.J. Tilliat, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, alternative, and he was new. And then we have Jodon Merman. He was also new and an alternative. Robbie Ritter, new and alternative on the Board of Building Standards. Then the Landmarks Commission, we have Megan Boyd, alternative and new. Oh, I'm sorry, Megan Brest. Sorry, I read those words completely wrong. Megan Brest. And then we have Tammy Keister, regular, new. She moved from alternative. So I don't know what alternate and move from alternative is, the difference between those, but I'm sure there is something very obvious that we're just not getting. So if you want to tell me what the obvious thing is, and then Neighborhood Services Advisory Board, we have a new person, Jeffrey Turner. And then Parks and Recreation Board, we have Jack Hurd, which is new. All right, so those are people. I've tried to track these dates. They make absolutely no sense, but I just wanted to see that there are some new people being added to boards. So they are adding people to boards. If you have connections, I believe that's the best path forward. So to get one of those 234 positions. All right, the next thing I want to show you is just every time we have election, it costs money. Now, it doesn't cost money to one particular entity. It's spread through everything, but it's crazy to think that our election on March 4th will cost $193,000. They say there's something that will reduce $15,000 will reduce it to $176,000. But what I want to show is they also break it down to what each individual entity, like City of Abilene, Wiley ISD, Trent ISD, what all these different costs are. They're kind of prorated for the thing. All right, the next item on the consent agenda I wanted to talk to you was something I found. And this is hard because I don't know enough information, but I want you to understand if you start looking, you never know when information is going to come back and be helpful. So that's why you pay attention. So in the meeting packet, there's what's called a geographic information systems contract that they're trying to work on. And I believe it's for about $120,000 or $130,000. I think it's on the next slide I can show you. And that's what they presented on the slides to everybody. But this information, I was just going through, looking through, and I was like, huh, what does this mean? And so this is me saying, hey, what does this mean? I don't know. Let's look into it. So what we have is the standard of work, which is SOW, and addressing service. And I don't understand what this is, but it says budget estimates. The 911 estimated bracket bucket is $356,000. It talks about the different people, a 911 coordinator, a GIS technician, a GIS supervisor. GIS is just geographic information systems, technical lead. And then we also have the estimated bucket. $283,374 for these different positions. And it looks like it totals about $639,000. So these are things that it's like, is this part of our budget? Where does this come from? So these are the questions I'm asking. We know how much it costs to set this up, but what all does this mean? I don't know. So let's keep looking and let's keep our eyes open and see if we can see, figure out where this goes. And now I knew a new thing. SOW means standard of work. Okay. And so when they presented this to the city, they have their 5-year strategic plan. It does not have a formal long plan. It has not, it had always been staffed. It's been staffed with as many as 5 individuals. Currently, there's 0 staff due to attrition and lack of skilled candidates, so they're using contracted services. So it sounds to me like they're possibly building this up. Like I said, I don't know, and they didn't explain it because it was on consent agenda. You know, I kind of got burned asking information to be told what's on consent agenda because I haven't. That's not how they do it, and so I'm working on a different strategy now. So it did say that it's not to exceed the cost of $120,000. So that's where I'm like, if that's what you told us, then what does this mean? And again, it may mean that they're not going to go to 120. That's just what it would take to fill all those positions. We'll just have to look more into that. All right, the next item on the agenda I wanted to point out to you was the water services. They're going to be working on selling some water that we have reserved at Possum Kingdom is the best way to explain it. And then they're also working on some other aspects to make sure we have water and take advantage of some situations. And so I just have to shout out kudos to Councilman Reagan because he had those items pulled. And I don't think he said anything really that was something he didn't understand, but I really loved that he took the time to ask questions and engage with the city officials so that we could, as a community, understand what was going on and that we're selling our water, but it's not going to really affect us, but it's a good thing and it's helpful. And he asked all these really poignant questions that I think really created a healthy dialogue. So I really want to give a shout out to him because I just thought it was a really good opportunity to make sense of things being passed on the consent agenda that otherwise would have just been passed and we would have had no answers and had to gone through a much laborious process to even find out some of the basic information. And I would say, please do more. We want to know more. We want to have these conversations. I know it takes up your time, but the more educated we are as a city, the better your job, the better you can do your job, the more efficient you can be at your job and the less drag we bring with our uneducated selves. Okay, so another thing I wanted to point out, I've just been looking because I think that, again, I don't think anything's being done wrong, but it's just kind of confusing and misleading in my opinion because there's information presented, but there's not necessarily information completely presented. For example, I really love these sheets that they put out that they give the general information and the funding fiscal impact. And so it just talks about how they had allotted, and we knew about this for some time, the council approved $1.5 million in the minor improvement fund during the fiscal 24-year budget. And so they have a design contract in the amount of $135,000. And I would assume that's additional. The design will take approximately 150 days. And so this was approved from the minor funding. So that's where I'm like, okay, I know that we approved the bonds, but we didn't know how much the amortization part would be with the interest because they didn't tell us, but we approved it. And again, we approved this pickleball court. Bless those pickleball players. They're pretty diehards and we actually have a design fee. And so there's a lot of, I'm understanding that just because we think that's all it's going to be, it's like they don't add in the sales tax, so they don't tell us how much more additional fees are going to be. And I just would hope that we could get a little bit more transparency in the days to come. Sorry, I'm looking really high tech this week. All right, this is what happens when you change recording locations. This is also An interesting thing I just wanted to point out again on the consent agenda. So the Abilene Heritage Square is requested to upgrade their traffic signal components, which will meet the renovations of the facilities adjacent to the intersection. TxDOT has agreed to modify them, but they're going to have to pay for any upgrades. And so the Abilene Heritage Square is going to be paying for all the upgrades and any extra costs that might incur for $113,000. So just wanted to let you know, if you see some upgrades happening, thanks Abilene Heritage Square for covering those costs and not making it directly come from the city. I'm sure there's some agreements worked out to where there's a balance to that. So here's another interesting thing you would have missed if you didn't, I got too close to the mic, if you didn't pay attention to the meeting packet. Again, not anything really big. I think this is a good thing, but I just wish that they would talk about it so we could understand. One of the things I found in the budget is they always have these revised budgets and they add information about something that was revised. And I've never seen anything come across that talks about the revised budget. So here is evidence of it. So they decided with the new police chief that they're going to eliminate one of the assistant police chiefs with as assistant police chief Ren retiring and have a little evaluation period to see the necessity of that position so they can see if they really need the additional assistant police chief or if they can use those for other type of employees that our city actually needs. So this is a little revision. I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. In fact, I don't think there's anything that's changing, but they had to give notice of it and amend the ordinance for that particular issue. So again, now we can know if we're only seeing two police chiefs, that's what's going on. Now I'm going to play some videos from this because here's another experience where you can make a difference. You can make a difference. That sounds like a song. And I want you to know that when you hear something, you see something, you say something. This is not exactly it, but I wanted to get to the part where it really does matter to you. It's a little harder. What happened was a couple of weeks ago at the planning and zoning meeting, there was a plot of property that was wanting to rezone. An owner was wanting to rezone it from AO to multifamily. And it was a confusing situation. And I went and looked, and the information really doesn't explain much, in my opinion, but I think we've got it all figured out. So it's this really weird piece of land. They had already approved another piece of land from AO to zone it from AO to multifamily. And this another plot of land, and it kind of make an L shape around this person's house. And so it really was weird. It's like, how are you going to build multifamily on this L shape that's like 75 feet wide? It's not big. And these neighbors are really close to it. And I've heard so many multifamily properties going in, buildings going in on Old Ains. And it's like, that's just the place they want to build all these renters, which is terrible for a neighborhood just to have renters. You need to have homeowners because homeowners treat their property differently than renters. It's just a proven fact. There's less crime. There's less trash. There's a lot of things that go on that is beneficial to have that balance. And if you don't have a balance, you can really cause some problems. So the neighbors were not happy about it. They didn't want it. And the planning and zoning is like, well, we have no choice. We have to approve it, which made no sense to me, but they pass it. So now it had its first reading, and this is, I believe, the second reading because it's a public hearing, and the property owners came up again and said, listen, we don't want our house. It's like 25 feet. And another neighbor said, there's already a property behind it. And I was like, wait a minute. So after the meeting, I went back and researched. Okay, so there's already a multifamily property already there. And these two pieces were acquired by the owner, and he was hoping to get it rezoned so that he could change it and add more of the multifamily units on his property. So it's not going to be an L-shaped property. It's addition to what's already there. So the owners were like, I don't want it. Another owner was like, I already pick up so much trash. If I have any more properties, they're just going to dump. Like one guy says, he sees people throw diapers into his property and he really can't do anything about it. Like from their second floor windows, the owner had no proposed plan. So it was like just to shift it and give him no property. No idea of what he was going to put in was not, it didn't seem to make sense to me. So I was really surprised planning and zoning passed it. But another thing I was really proud of, the city council made some great points. In fact, if I was there, I would have gotten up and said it. But Councilman Beard said that, listen, we have this infill develop going on. This is right on the edge. Why would we add more of this when that really is in conflict with what we're trying to do with Rebuild Abilene, Rebuild ABI? And I was like, yes, they see it. They get it. This makes me so happy. And so thankfully, this didn't even get a vote because no one motioned it. They didn't have to second it and they didn't have to vote on it. So I was really happy for the landowners to get a little bit of that buffer zone still around and that we didn't add more apartment multifamily units to our city. We can really focus on moving our city in a better direction by improving the areas that we have so that they can have We can have more owners, Lord willing. That would be the best thing. So, okay, so this one was really weird to me. I've only seen this one other time. It said, this was after executive session, it said they were going to hold a discussion and public hearing and take action on approving a settlement agreement regarding Shura Sampson versus the City of Abilene. And so it said, general information. Information will be provided at the meeting. So I was like, okay, what's going to be going on? So I watched the meeting. Let's push play here. It probably will not even take long. He reads the resolution. He says, let's vote on it. They vote on it, and that's it. No information was given, which is weird because, again, if they said more information would be presented, bring me more information, because I would have also got up and said, why don't we have any information on it, and why is nothing being presented? I don't even know what this is about and what's going on. Again, if we got to have it in the open meeting to vote on it, that's fine, but why would, it's just like having a speaker at the beginning of a meeting when no one's going to speak at it. It's just as fishy and doesn't make sense to me. And so I was just like, that's weird. So I just wanted to show you, this is the second time I've seen information would be provided at the meeting, and there was zilch. There was nothing said, nothing done, just a vote taken. And it was just weird to me. I don't know if this is something I'm allowed to know or if this is just private information, but that's what it is. All right, let's go ahead and move into the weekend preview. All right, so we have several things going on this week. It's going to be another busy week. We're going to have the Board of Adjustments on February 13th. We have the Airport Development Morning in the afternoon and the Keep Abilene Beautiful Board, and those are simultaneously, which I don't love because how can you even go to both of those, especially since one is not recorded. And there are some good things happening at the airport, so I hate to miss that one, but we'll have to see what I can make work out for me this week. And then I'm really excited. This is the first time I've been engaged where a Civil Service Commission meeting was being held at 9:30 in the second floor council chambers. I have no idea what this does. I know they just appointed Gary Bone to that not too long ago. So I'm going to go and see what this is all about and let you know to see if we can understand how we can be more informed and engaged in this particular area. So that's all the meetings for now this week. And it's Valentine's Day. So I don't know. Do you celebrate that? Have some fun there. I just wanted to close with some really concerning things that I've learned. And I just want to encourage you that if we shut down conversation, we can't move forward in a healthy way. So make sure that if you can at all possible, redirect conversations that are meant to be shut down and try and open up the dialogue so that we can at least have discussions. Because I don't know about you, but I'm an audible processor and I love having conversations with people because it's through these conversations that I get to see and hear different points of view, different interpretations, different perspectives that give me insight and information so that I can move forward with a better understanding of what is needed for our community. And if we are only offering binary choices of either you're this way or you're that way, that does not really promote healthy conversations in a healthy community. So let me just say that if you can start to think about some times where you've been in a circumstance and you've had to be like, well, it's either this or that. It's never as black and white for the most part. I will say life is an issue that's pretty black and white. Either you're for people living or you have exceptions and allow people to be killed. But other than that, there's really a lot of flexibility in understanding different perspectives. So let's just make sure that we're engaging in a healthy conversation with people and challenging people who try to force us in one camp or another to come up with good questions. I love Greg Kuchel's tactics. It really helps us to ask good questions to help people have better discussions, and it helps us to be better listeners and ones that help us not to push our agendas on people, but learn how to interact in a healthy way. So I don't know how we can best do this, but I'm hoping that with all of us working at it, we can find a better path forward. So that as a community, we can grow and learn and find out what our issues are that need to be resolved and what issues are we're succeeding in, because there's got to be a little bit of both. We don't want people just to agree with us or just say what we want them to say. We actually want people to have the freedom to be able to speak, because I just got done reviewing a book about North Korea, and the way that they shut down conversation is very much a communist and socialist tactic. So we don't want to have that in our community. We want to allow people to feel like they have a place to speak freely, share their ideas, and ask good questions. And we'll be moving in a better direction. So I really appreciate you subscribing and sharing this podcast with your friends and family so that we can make sure we're getting the word out so people can be educated and informed. And if you want to watch the TCRP, the Taylor County Republican Party, and the Abilene Republican Women Club Republican primary forum that happened on Monday, you can go to Rumble and look on that, or you can go to the Taylor County Republican Party Facebook page. They have it on there, or just reach out to me and I'll send you a live link on Rumble. Rumble is just like YouTube, so it's just another platform that you can share videos on. And make sure you share that, because we want to see what our people who want to represent us are saying and how they're responding and how do they handle pressure being up in front of 300 people. That's a good gauge. It was a big crowd, but it was a good crowd, and they were really engaged and participating well. So make sure you pay to check that out. And if you can help get the word about what's going on, I think that there's some exciting times coming, and I want to make sure we're all educated, informed, and empowered so we can make an impact in Abilene in the big country. Until next time.